The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
And new undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Yes, that is right. We're back, Believe You Me. Hope you're all well. Thanks for supporting the show. Harrington is in the driver's seat with me here today, so I apologize to everyone in advance. But you all love Harrington these days anyway. You know what I mean? I see the comments. I see the love. I don't know what else I see. That's about it. How are you, buddy?
What you haven't been seeing is my DMs, where it's a ton of like, hey, man, you're a really great guy. You bring a lot to the show. I really like you. Your journey's so inspiring. Oh, by the way, fuck you, Harrington. Like,
yeah,
they
yeah.
end every message with that to just stick that knife in a little bit, which I appreciate now.
Well, we're not starting the show just discussing you and you alone, okay? So, you know.
How's your day, Mike?
Never mind my day. My day is just fine and peachy. Thank you very much. What am I doing? Oh, I went for a run. I had a mobility coach that I'm working on now. I've been stretching for quite some time, and I'm making zero fucking progress. Zero.
Playing a little touch button in the park?
I am. And in fact, he even mentioned I do Portal or whatever the fuck his name is, Idol. Yeah, he mentioned him today. He said, don't worry, we're not going to be doing that type of stuff. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But we do it in the garage, and the garage doors are open. You know, it's California. It's beautiful weather. Let a bit of sunlight in. And he's like getting on top of me in some very precarious positions, shall we say. And then there's some guy came walking past with his two dogs as he's walking past, and he just looked in the garage. And the guy, Rob, that was stretching, he goes, yep, just two dudes, bro. Just two dudes. It was pretty funny because it did look suggestive, shall we say. But anyway, lots to talk about. We've got great fights at the weekend. I'll tell you what, that fight card this weekend is a sleeper. I'll be there in Vegas commentating that one. We're going to talk about that later. Alexander Rakic versus Jan Blachowicz, the former champion. Would have been nice if Anthony was on. I would be very curious to get his take. Hope you well, Anthony.
Yeah, we all wish Anthony was here.
Yeah, we do. We really do. We really do. I see all the support and love. Yeah, we really do that he gets, and that's beautiful to see. But, Harrington, the floor is yours. What have we got? What have we got?
Okay, so we're starting with a little bit of silliness today. I mean, a little bit sad, I'm sure, for some of the viewers of you know, Believe You Me and people who are very internet savvy. The crypto market seems to be cratering in on itself. Apparently, an estimated $200 billion in value was lost in the crypto market in the last 24 hours. Bitcoin is below 29,000 for the first time since December of 2020. It is looking kind of bleak.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's going to tie into a lot of things going on the stock market in general. I mean, I didn't know that until I just logged in right now and saw that you put that in the notes. So over 24 hours, 200 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go on.
And what is Ethereum at? For those that don't know, Ethereum and Bitcoin, they're the biggest ones. Most people should know that by now, I would have thought. But Bitcoin, what was it, 60,000 or something? It's all-time high, 61
almost,
maybe?
Almost 70, I think.
Or was it
like
really?
69.
Yeah. Right. And then what's Ethereum at? I'm assuming that's dropped.
It's under $2,000 right now, 19.75.
And what was it at a few days ago? Can you see it on like a chart there or anything?
Yeah,
it was almost right $4,000, wasn't it, I believe? But anyway, boring conversation. Harrington, just going to start off with that. Boring. But I will say this. Cryptocurrency, listen, it's like the stock. It is like the stock market, okay? Then who said that?
I'm going to guess George St. Pierre just based on the accent.
Yes, this is right. But I cannot do George right now for some reason. What's up, Brian?
everybody should have put their money into UFC Strike like me.
Oh, God, here he goes again. Yeah, no, I think with Bitcoin and the big cryptocurrencies, they're going to be fine. You know, it goes up and down. It's like the stock market. What did he say? George said that in referring to me at some point. It's like the stock market. Sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down. Fire is wet. No, fire is hot. Water is wet. Fire burns. And George said, Pierre will kick the shit out of Michael Bisping. I'm like, all right, you went off on a tangent there. Talking of tangents, so am I. No. It's like if you buy a house, right? You buy a house, it's going to go over time like this. It may go like, I'm trying to fucking manipulate the cameras. It might go like this, but over time, it's going to go up. You know what I mean? So it's had a momentary dip. It'll be back. I don't even have a lot of crypto. So anyway, whatever. Who cares? No one cares. We're here to talk about MMA. We're here to have a laugh. We're here to make fun of you, call you bad names, and answer questions. Why are you putting that in the story?
Well, because I just wanted to see if Michael Bisping was encouraging buy the dip. And although this is not financial advice, buy the dip, baby.
Yeah, well, I would actually. That actually isn't a bad idea. It isn't a bad idea. Anyway, give us another topic, Harrington.
All right. What do you think about this? Calvin Klein is catching a lot of flack right now. Their Mother's Day ad featured a pregnant man.
It's impossible to happen. Men can't get pregnant. I hate to break it to you there. Listen.
Oh, well, turns out this person is trans, female to male. And she is, has kept the femi insides and reproductive prostates. This is a person who is, like a influencer of some kind on social media, has a few thousand followers. And Calvin Klein reached out, tapped him, and was like, look, you're going to be the face of Mother's Day for us. So this dude and his lady partner are just chilling together while he's pregnant.
Yeah, okay. So you said there's been a ton of backlash for this, has there? What has the backlash been about? Because, all right, listen, you could have just picked a woman to be pregnant, but it's a transgender man. I have no issue with it. I have no issue with it whatsoever. So what? That man feels like she was a man, but now she's become a man, but she's still got the parts inside. I know it's not everyone's cup of tea, but I couldn't give a shit. I have no issue with that whatsoever. But it is, I think they are pandering to the woke society by doing that. Because there's a lot of women that aren't men that are pregnant, you know what I mean? I think there's a bit of shock value I think they're trying to achieve.
It looks like they removed the post. I'm looking for it now and all the links are...
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Well, Harrison, this was you brought this subject up. Give me your thoughts.
Well, I mean, I'm bringing it... I don't know. Like, it is weird to me, right? On a day that's supposed to be about mothers and, motherhood and to put a person... who, if we're going to respect their gender pronouns, right, is going to be a father to that child. Like, why not just save this for Pregnant Father's Day?
When was this? International Women's Day?
No, Mother's Day on Sunday.
Oh, Rebecca! Come here, quick. We need you. No, I have no problem. Yeah, hold on. So what's your issue again?
So I don't have an issue with that. What it is though, it's very...
I tell you, he's done all right with his lady friend, though, hasn't he?
That looks like my girlfriend and I.
Yeah.
Me,
yeah.
Just what do you think about this, my Calvins?
What do you think? What do you think? We need a woman's opinion. Right, we need a woman's opinion. So it's a pregnant man. Obviously, it's a transgender.
Hi, Harrington.
We have no issue with that. But Harrington said there's been a lot of backlash. Because of why, Harrington, again?
Because this is, a pregnant man on Mother's Day. As a mother, do you find it offensive that they're, showing off a man being pregnant on what's supposed to be your day?
No, I don't feel intimidated by a pregnant man. No, I'm pretty confident that I will be celebrated for the wonderful mother that I am, regardless of men being pregnant. So it's, let me get my head around it. So it's a woman.
It's a woman that's
transgendered into a male and has
kept the lady parts.
Right.
Would be the womb, I believe.
The womb. Yeah. There you go. Nailed it.
Yeah, no. Look at
You're
that.
Learning.
I'm a smart guy. I'm really doing it, Mom.
But yeah, like, it doesn't, I don't feel offended. No, I think it's, Whatever. All power to them.
I have no problem with that whatsoever. I have a slight issue with a number one people being offended by it. It's like, really, is that what you're gonna? Is this the fight?
What you're choosing.
This is what you're choosing to waste your energy on. And then also, I guess I have a slight issue with Calvin Klein as well, because they're just trying to go for the shock value and pander to the overly woke society. I have no issue with the transgender couple whatsoever. Fill your boots, make yourself happy. I'm sure they're going to be fantastic parents. You know what I mean? Who knows? Maybe they're going to be pieces of shit. We'll never know. Only they will know. But the fact that Calvin Klein are doing that, I mean, I see what they're doing. They're just, you know.
Let me see the image again. Was it an advert for, what is it?
Calvin Klein.
Oh, I didn't.
Bring it up,
I didn't
Brian.
I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it works in the sense that they're now being discussed on the number one MMA podcast. When's the last time we talked about Calvin Klein? Never?
When's the last time you bought Calvin Klein? Have you ever?
Yeah, I mean, probably bought a pair of Calvins after I saw Back to the Future in, like, you know, 1998 or something. But
I
that's the only thing I can think of.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Comfy.
Back to the Future. What was it? Calvin. She thought it was Calvin Klein. My favorite movie. Well, not of all time, but one of my favorites for sure.
It's great, front to back. How can you not like?
So is the lady, is she transgender as well?
I do not know, but I do know that that is in fact his partner.
Because they've done a good fucking job. If she's transgender, my God, she's attractive. Anyway, anything to add, babe, on this? We thought we'd just pick your brain, seeing as I certainly don't have a vagina. Harrington sometimes does, and sometimes can actually morph into one on occasions.
I just want to know how he got impregnated. Like,
who,
if
me?
That's his, no, the oh, the gentleman in the advert, right? So, like, if that's his partner,
well,
I don't think
about
it.
Well, obviously, you know,
IVF.
What, babe?
IVF.
Well, yeah, but think about it. Obviously, you know, what's the expression I'm looking for? You know. The something doesn't match the something. The drapes doesn't match the thing. Do you know what I mean? She might be dressing as a man. Oh, sorry. He might be now. But obviously downstairs, you take the pants off, then all the bits are still there, is what I'm assuming.
So that's right. Unusual, because obviously when they transition, I don't know if it goes that way. How do you? They can make
it goes that way.
They can make a vagina, can't they? They turn your penis inside out or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Something weird.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Anyway,
It's different.
Anyway, we got lots of MMA stuff to talk about. We're wasting time here. We are. This is how you know. I'm gonna start vetting these notes. I really do. I like to let you just have free reign because it's shocking. We started off with cryptocurrency crashing. Boring. Now we're talking about Calvin Klein, naked men. Yeah, you know, we got bigger, more pressing things, Brian. All right, real quick, I want to tell you about Masterworks. Look, listen, everyone's looking to invest. You want to put some money aside for when you're older. Well, you know what? A lot of people invest in cryptocurrencies, IRAs, whatever it may be. You know, wealthy people like Oprah invest in fucking Lambos, Rolexes, and art. Yes, that is correct. You can now invest in very famous pieces of artwork. I recently found out that Oprah sold one of these artworks for over $150 million to an anonymous Chinese buyer, which ranked in over $60 million in profit. Think about that for a moment. What are we doing with our lives? And the more I look into it, the crazier it becomes. I mean, all right, for an example, the Mona Lisa, it is appreciated by 2,000,000% or something like that. So went from 30K to 867 million. Well, for some of you savvy investors out there, if you want to learn more about investing in famous pieces of art without being Rolex rich, well, now's the time to do so. Now it is easier than ever. Visit masterworks.io and the promo code BELIEVE. You can buy a very, very small stake in certain pieces of art. And as the piece of art appreciates in value, well, of course, so does your investment. So one more time, visit masterworks.io, promo code BELIEVE, and see important Regulation A disclosures at masterworks.io/CD. One more time, masterworks.io, promo code BELIEVE. Anyway, all right, Harrington, what else we got, bud?
Right. I mean, do you want to move on to MMA, or you want me to keep going down
let's see if you can totally redeem yourself.
All right, how about this? If you called someone a fat, bald cunt, what do you think you'd get in trouble for the most out of those three words?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I sent you this story. So, this is ridiculous though. So in Sheffield, England, at a factory, some guy was reprimanded, shall we say, by his supervisor or his boss. And the guy called the elder gentleman, the older guy, but the guy, the worker, not the supervisor, called him a fat, bald cunt. And he sued. And they've determined it to be sexual discrimination or sexual harassment, pardon me, correct?
Yeah, it is a conclusion by the Employment Tribunal who ruled that using the word could be inherently related to sex and it would amount to a form of discrimination.
So the bold part is what they're talking to there, because they're saying that generally it's men that go bold and not women. Although somebody needs to tell Will Smith and Jada Pinkett, because they disagree. They disagree.
How dare you? Alopecia is a real disability.
No, it is. It is. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, listen, the guy's got called and they call it industrial language in the article, which is a new one for me. I like that, though. Yes, the Believe You Me podcast, we may feature some industrial language on occasion, but generally it's okay. Listen, toughen up. I mean, fair play to the guy, because he got fired and he sued them, right? And he's obviously got himself a good lawyer and he's going to get a settlement. However, they say it won't be as much because he kind of added to the reason for being fired. He didn't handle it too well, but calling someone bold now is sexual harassment. If that is the case, then what is the world coming to? It's ridiculous. It just is. I remember I was told when I was working at Fox, because Karen Bryant used to wear some very nice dresses here on occasion. And I went, oh, Karen, that's a nice dress, you know, meaning that's a nice dress. I like that. And I was told, oh, it's a bit inappropriate. It's a little bit inappropriate. You shouldn't be saying that to females.
You didn't say it would look better on the floor of my bedroom.
I certainly did not.
That used to be the pickup line.
Yeah, but it was not a pickup line. I was genuinely saying, oh, that's a cool dress. You know what I mean? I like that.
You're a fashion forward guy.
I'm not a fashion forward guy. I can just tell that someone's wearing a nice dress. That sounded like an insult, Harrington. I'm not a fashion forward. If someone walks in all dressed up, right? If I walk in dressed nicely and I've got a suit on, and I've got a shirt and tie on, and I've got some nice shoes on, I'm going to be working on live TV, and I'm in a studio, and someone says, hey, nice suit, man, looking good. I'm not going to perceive that as that they are trying to get into my pants, that they want to have a sexual relationship, or that there's anything to be remotely offended by or feel uncomfortable with. It was like, oh, cool, yeah, thanks, I just bought this. Cost me $1,000. I want people to say nice suit.
Yeah, you have spent hundreds of dollars on an Armani shirt. This is the nicest shirt I own, Mike. I'm saying, compared to me, you are very fashion forward, and I would take a compliment from you on you know, somebody's dresses to mean a little bit more. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all right. But no, but anyway, we're going off on a bloody random tangent here. But yeah, the fact that now you referred to someone as bold is classed as a sexist comment. I mean, it's a nasty comment, I guess, if you said it. Depends how you say it. I mean, take your hat off.
Oh, come on.
Take your hat off, Harrington. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there he is. You fit the description. What did he get called?
A fat bald cunt.
I've called Harrington much worse than that.
Yeah, and have you claimed sexual discrimination?
Unfortunately, no. I didn't get a good enough lawyer. But if I find out who this guy hired, ooh, Gas Digital's gonna get it.
Oh yeah, because I can imagine the insults you get over there. My God. Yeah, no, listen, it's crazy. Hey, fair play. He got fired from his job. He's trying to get some payout. I hope he gets paid.
So this is what the judgment said. It is difficult to conclude other than that these words were spoken with the purpose of violating the claimant's dignity and creating an intimidating, hostile,
yeah, it's called an insult.
Humility.
It's called an insult. That's what people are doing. When tempers flare and people get angry, they say some words. You know what I mean? I guess this is a little different because it was an employer or a boss to an employee relationship. You know what I mean? But if two dudes are just having, you know, two friends, me and you, all fair, whatever, we're just talking a bit of shit. Say, oh, fuck off, you bold cunt.
No, that's it. You're my boss. It's over for you.
I'm not your boss. There's no need for lawyers to be involved, but still. Anyway, you can't blink at someone these days. We talked about it. You can't stare at anyone. Certainly can't call them bold anymore. Mm-mm. Where do we think this is going to go? Brian, 10 years' time, what can you can and can't do?
10 years time, you're gonna have to have a license to speak. It's gonna be gross. This is me in my Orwell hat here, but I've called Mike fat on the inside, if that means anything.
You me?
No, Harrington.
You're talking about 1984 by George Orwell there, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting crazy. I mean, people are going to jail for fucking tweets and shit in Canada and England, from what I hear. I'm not there, but...
Yeah, with Elon Musk buying Twitter, though, Trump, for one, is going to be reinstated, according to Elon Musk. So the point I'm bringing that up is that whatever you just said, whatever case you're referring to, Brian, that's going to be out the window, because soon, I think... you're going to be able to tweet whatever you want.
But the problem with that is that it's like local laws. So there's like, Britain has some like snowflakey laws where it's just like, you can't make fun of people, or it's like, it's like harassment, and you go, it's crazy. You get like fined and go to jail.
What, you're saying really that America doesn't have snowflakey laws? At least if a woman gets raped and impregnated, she can get a goddamn abortion. Okay.
Oh, Jesus. I'm not trying to get into
the freest country in the goddamn fucking world.
I'm not trying to get into
this. You go tell that to the last woman to get knocked up by a rapist.
Listen. I'm not trying to get into this, but Roe v. Wade doesn't make abortions.
You guys got some snowflakey laws. Yeah, and you got some crazy ones as well.
Sure. Well, we just... Oh my God! The federal government shouldn't be telling people what to do with their bodies. That's
all. No, they should. Yeah, I agree. We can agree on that one for bloody sure. All right. Anyway, should we? What's Nate Diaz been doing? Like, I've got.
Oh God!
I woke up. I know. Thank God. What are we talking about? I'm in no position to be talking about any of the stuff we've just spoken about. I know nothing. I'm a knucklehead. I got hit in the head for a living, and now I broadcast, which is weird. I was listening to someone yesterday saying, yeah, I've been in broadcasting for X amount of years. And I thought, wow, I guess I have for 10 years. 2012, I first went on Fox Sports and doing your pre and post fight shows. Didn't know what I was doing. Still don't know what I'm doing or what I'm talking about. Certainly the last half an hour of the podcast, just forget it happened. And we'll start now. Nate Diaz, go on. I wake up this morning. I'm in bed. And then I'm on a little group text chain, you know. And I see Nate. Go on, Harrington. The floor is yours.
Well, Nate Diaz decided to you know, send a message, I guess, to Dana White, the UFC, and everybody who wants to listen by taking a whiz on the UFC PI and making it very clear that, you know, I make more money than anyone and they won't cut me. So there's literally nothing they can do about this.
What was the actual words? Did he say that I make more money than all of you or something?
Yeah, I mean...
took a piss on the UFC PI. I could do this because I get paid more than all you guys and they won't cut me. What's your honest opinion on that?
I mean, this is a guy who, to announce the biggest fight of his career, slapped Dana White. You know, like, this is kind of his MO is like, fuck you to the boss, fuck you to everybody who's ever... fuck you to everybody who's not stocked in 209, bitch. You know what I mean? That's kind of his deal.
Yeah, but
what if it's all WWE shit? What if him and Dana are actually just boys, and this is all just to sell Nate as the character that he is?
Well, you never know. I doubt it. But the thing that Harrington mentioned there when he slapped Dana, they were certainly all in on it. That was just good old fashioned fun. But this thing here, my slight issue with that is that, number one, you're alienating and you're offending all the other fighters on the roster. I get paid more than all you guys. What's that going to do with anything? And then taking a piss, I don't know. Call me a miserable old fart. It's a little bit childish and immature, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a dog marking his territory. Like, what are you doing? Grow
it's
up.
Not Israel Adesanya walking into the cage, Harrington.
You're in your late 30s, dude. You're in your late 30s. What are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing? Why are you still peeing outside?
And I know a lot of people think it's fantastic because I saw some of the comments and even some people on my group text said, Nate Diaz is my hero. And I was like, I get that he goes against the grain and anti-conformist, I think it might be the expression, you know what I mean? Which a lot of people are a fan of. And I get that. I understand that. But also at the same time, I don't know. Like, you're not going to help yourself. No good is going to come out of that situation. I mean, unless he wants the UFC to cut him and let him go. But if they get mad, all they're going to want to do is fuck with him more. Do you know what? I don't understand what good can come out of that tweet.
I mean, just to raise his stock, right? As the people's favorite, as the anti-conformist, anti-authority, F you, F the man. It's the reason why somebody like Nate Diaz, who's not ranked anywhere near the top at 170, was able to get a fight against the guy who's about to fight for a title at 170 after whatever, a year and a half long hiatus. Like, there's something about that. Like, if Nate Diaz keeps moving the needle, no matter how bad or how anti whatever, he's always going to get himself into big moments.
Yeah, no, and I don't disagree with that. You're absolutely right there, because he is a guy that is impervious to the losses that he's had. Do you know what I mean? Because there has been a few of them, but he is such a fan favorite and a cult-like figure. You know what I mean? I don't know. He's just like, I mean, I can't sit here and say anything. I've done plenty of dumb shit, and he probably doesn't even class that as dumb shit, to be fair. But, you know, was the talk of him fighting, though? Because I know he was calling everybody out. Was he linked to Michael Chandler on July 30th? I think he was calling for that one.
So he called for a bout on July 30th at 170 pounds. And then Michael Chandler popped up. They were going back and forth on Twitter. And, you know, Nate Diaz just quote tweeted it along with his original 170 pounds July 30th thing. It was like, all right, let's book it. Like, Nate seems on board. Michael Chandler seems on board. Why not?
Yeah. Why not? I mean, if it's the last fight on the... Well, it is the last fight. The UFC wants to put him in the biggest fight possible because apparently he gets paid lots of money, judging by his tweet, which he does. You never hear him complain about that. We said this last week. Michael Chandler, would that be the pick? I don't know. There it is, July 30th, 170 pounds. I'm there. Quick turnaround. Spin your head on its axis. All right, Chandler, you dropped the ball on that bit of trash talk there, but whatever. I like Michael Chandler. What a great guy he is and what a great fighter. Chandler, let's get on the show, baby. Come on, come on. Would that be the fight? If Nate Diaz's last fight on his contract, would you match him up against Michael Chandler? I don't know if I would.
I mean, against the guy who's fought predominantly at 155, who is, you know, one of the marquee fighters in your 155-pound division for his last fight on the contract at 170, I don't see how the UFC gains anything from that.
Correct. Good point. Good point. Yeah, I mean, a Khamzat Chimaev would be perfect for a lot of reasons. And if Diaz turns that down, which I don't think Diaz is in the business of turning down fights, by the way, but if he was to turn it down, then I think that would put a contract extension out there. So Khamzat would be massive. Outside of a McGregor, who else is there? Outside of a Masvidal, outside of any of those names there, Khamzat would tick every single goddamn box.
I feel like for me, it's Khamzat or McGregor, right? Because you don't want to let Diaz get away without that third McGregor fight, obviously. And it's like the only thing that's going to, you know, maybe replace that in value is if you can get Khamzat to that next super duper star level, which you seem to only be able to get after beating Conor McGregor or Nate Diaz.
Yeah, but they are two of the biggest in the sport. That's for damn sure. Okay, I'm on Twitter last night, or was it Twitter? I don't know. I was scrolling social media anyway, and all I see is a back and forth between DC, Tony Ferguson. Why is Tony Ferguson, if you can bring up the series of tweets, Brian, that would be fantastic, please. So, listen, I know DC has a very close relationship with Khabib. And we know that Tony Ferguson doesn't like Khabib. But now, for some reason, and he was, Tony Ferguson was like, lay off the yay, you know, which for those that don't know is a slang word for cocaine. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, I don't think I've ever heard of DC being bad into the coke. Here he is. He says,
no, that's the drug that makes you lose weight.
He goes, lay off the yay, buddy. Not a good look. You make yourself look sad. I'm already back to work. I don't quit like you. Enjoy your retirement with Fathead. And then DC came out. What did DC said? He said, Tony, please. Oh, here's another one. Tony said, how to not make weight, ladies and gentlemen. And for the audio listeners, it's a video of the old towel trick. Which, listen. DC definitely cheated on that one. But listen. I'm not going to hold it against him. You're overweight. You've killed yourself to make weight. If you can get away with it, you get away with it. That was up to the commission and whoever else to catch it. It was. If they'd have caught it, DC would have gone off. He would have made weight. He would have killed himself and come back and done it. He got away with it. But bring the tweet up, Brian, please. Sorry, mate. I wasn't done there. So he says, this is how you not make weight, ladies and gentlemen. Should have stripped him like they did Charles de Bronx. Shout out to all those doing it right and keeping the sport clean. Champ. CSL, championship only. I agree with Tony there. I agree. Shout out to everyone that is doing it correctly. But you know what I mean? Desperate times, desperate measures. DC was just reacting on the fly. Anyway, DC comes back. He says, Tony, please stop. Go and sit back for a little. Fuck. Your head in a hole somewhere. Regroup,
talk,
man.
Talk.
Recover. Oh, talk. I got bad eyes. I didn't understand. What does fuck your head in a hole for a while? All right, sorry. Tuck your head in a hole somewhere. Regroup, man. Recover. Spend some time with your family. Like, just please stop. I plead with you. It's not a good look. Like, you're making me sad.
Couple too many likes in there.
Yeah, DC's tweeting like a 14-year-old Valley girl. Like, oh my God. So like, Tony, like, so like, what you're doing right now, you need to go fuck your head in the hole, okay? And like, take some time with your family and just like totally regroup, you know? Because like, I'm not a fan of this. No. You know? That's why is DC's right, though.
DC's right. Tony's got a point, though, too, where he's like, you know, why wasn't, because if you remember, DC wouldn't have had the chance to go back and lose the weight. I just went and I checked this. He got on the scale 1.5 over, came back, was a little bit too heavy. The towel is the only reason he held on to the belt, is my only point.
Okay. And that's a valid point, then, if that's what you say is correct. Valid point. How was it relevant? When was that? That was years ago.
It was early 2017, but
5 years ago. I failed to see the relevance. Tony just lost at the weekend, right? No shame in that, Tony. I hope you well, buddy. I hope you're recovering well. I don't know why he's just going on the attack and bringing that up now. We know Charles missed weight, so you can say there's some correlation there, but I don't really see how DC has got anything to do with it.
I know what it is. Michael Chandler knocked him back into 2018.
Oh, that's a low blow, Harrington. That's a low blow.
What other explanation could you come up with? I mean,
he went back to the future with the Kelvin Kleins. I don't know. I mean, Tony's doing this to a lot of people these days, I see. You know what I mean? Go on.
The only other thing I can think of, right, is Charles Dubronx Oliveira immediately came out and showed Tony some love after the fight. Was like, yo, come down to Shooto Box. We'll you know, mess around down here. Like, I want you to get back to the winning ways. Like, you know, they really buried the hatchet from the shit talk that happened between the two of them before their fight. And they seem to be on the same page. So maybe this is just Tony coming out and being like, I think it's messed up that Charles got his title taken away. And here's a clear example of somebody who it should have happened to. Like, why don't you just give Charles back his title? Because he deserves it. And if that's the case, you know.
Hey, no. Listen. And if that is the case, and you make a good point, Harrington, and I commend him for that. I do. That's very kind, because Charles Oliveira has been nothing but a goddamn class act to Tony, to everybody. You don't really hear any scandal with Charles Oliveira on top of everything else. So that is nice. But the reality remains, though. The reality does remain is that DC got away with it. It's not like he's trying to fuck over Charles Oliveira at that moment in time. All DC was trying to do was, you know, he got away with it. Charles didn't. Charles had a little anal commission member. You know what I mean? That when that beam was going up and down, he could have let it slide. Pardon the expression. But he didn't let it slide. You know what I mean? And it was made official. It wasn't made official for DC's, you know? Anyway. Anywho. Mike Tyson beat up a guy on a JetBlue Airways flight and not looking at any charges, I believe.
Nope. According to the San Francisco Police Department, we have reviewed police reports of the SFPD and the San Mateo County Valley Sheriff's Office and have viewed the various videos collected by law enforcement and from others on the plane. Our decision is that we will not file any charges against Mr. Tyson based on the circumstances surrounding the confrontation.
Good. Good. That's the right thing. That's the right thing, because, you know, the problem is, I mean, look at this. We were talking about it before. You can't even call someone bold these days without it becoming a sexual harassment topic, which is absolutely nonsense. And the more the world goes like this, the more problems we're going to encounter and the more people are going to be find themselves in situations where they can't defend themselves or say anything. And of course, Mike Tyson wasn't defending himself, but the guy was bugging him. The guy was going on. The guy was being a nuisance. The guy was in his personal space. The guy was being a total dickhead. Okay. And sometimes, And there's nothing wrong with this. Sometimes if you act like a total dickhead, getting a couple of little slaps might be the best thing for you. Do you know what I mean? And if that person, if that guy had of, if Mike Tyson had charges pressed against him, there's other people out there that are just going to start harassing people in public. Oh yeah, they can't touch you. They can get, you know what I mean? You lay one finger on me, buddy, you're going to get arrested. You're going to be sued to high heaven. Do you know what I mean? But that's just not how you treat someone. If someone wants to be left alone, fucking leave them alone. And if you keep prodding the bear, you keep going after the person and they say, hey, leave me alone. You keep going after it. Well, what do you expect? You play stupid games. You win stupid fucking prizes. You should not be then rewarded by the police pressing charges and then you being awarded some settlement money.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I was 100% on board with Mike Tyson hitting that guy from the jump because it's like, you know exactly what you're getting into if you mess with Mike freaking Tyson. Like, yeah. Come on, man. Grow up.
No, hell exactly. Yeah. Exactly. There's nothing more to say on that. You know, he shouldn't be doing that. I mean, he was excited. That's all well and good. He was excited. In fact, we got an Uber driver, don't we? That was very excited for seeing John Jones. You know what I mean? Do we have that? I haven't seen this footage. Give me an intro.
No, I mean, this guy was absolutely hyped. He's like, you can see him driving down the road and all of a sudden it like clicks in him where he's like, oh, it's John Jones. So dope. Brian, if you could just pull it up.
This guy is good.
John Jones. Nobody being like you. Nobody. John Jones. Hey, your boy. And me.
He's driving, by the way. Hands off the wheel.
My friend, they watch me. Oh, you were.
I love you, man. I love you too, brother. I love you too. Man.
John Jones.
I mean,
I like it. Bless him. That's awesome. I mean, that is, you know, not that, it, you know, I've had that reaction on some people sometimes, you know, and they lose that. It's lovely. It's so heartwarming. It's beautiful to see. And it blows my mind. I'm sure it blew John's mind. You know what I mean? Because we just, as fighters, we're just trying to go about our day. Do you know what I mean? We're just trying to make a living for our family. Do you know what I mean? And I don't think about this stuff. I really don't. But sometimes when you meet someone and they're like, oh my God, it's like, oh shit, wow, well, that's amazing. Or you could do a Mike Tyson and just beat them.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm sure, you know, if this guy was, you know, poking and prodding John Jones and being like, John, you're a bitch, you don't even deserve to be in an Uber, you should be in a yellow cab right now, eventually John Jones would have beaten the crap out of that guy.
Oh, definitely. But that guy, yeah, nah.
He was cool as hell. That's how you're supposed to meet a celebrity.
He was cool as hell. Right. What else do we have? What's going on, Harrington? Throw some MMA stuff at me. What do we have? Curtis Blaydes and Tom Aspinall, they're saying that they don't see this fight as a title eliminator.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Tom has been very clear about, you know, not being on a rush to get to a title shot. Curtis Blaydes has the, you know, kind of the opposite reaction where he's like, yeah, I deserve it, but I'm just not going to get it. They're going to match me up against the winner of Ciryl Gane versus Tai Tuivasa. And that's just how it goes, man.
Yeah. And it probably will be how it goes. You know what I mean? I mean,
for Curtis, yes.
Or Tom, they're both probably going to get the winner of Ciryl versus Tuivasa because Jones and Stipe, from what we see online, are going to fight for an interim belt. We haven't had an announcement, you know, so that's not concrete, but more than likely that's going to happen for an interim belt. The interim champion should fight the champion if Francis can turn it around and get back in the next 8 months or so, you know. So that means that none of those guys, regardless of who they win, those four people, you know what I mean? Tuivasa, Ciryl Gane, Tom Aspinall, Curtis Blaydes, none of them are going to get a title fight pretty soon. So they're going to want to continue fighting. So I think the winner of those four, the two winners will fight each other and the two losers will probably end up fighting each other as well.
All right, that's actually super duper interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I just, in my mind, I saw it as a situation where if Tuivasa won and Aspinall didn't, or Aspinall won and Tuivasa didn't, then we would have like a very clear number one contender, because Curtis Blaydes, obviously he's got multiple losses to Francis Ngannou. He's got to beat everybody else in the division before he gets that shot. Ciryl Gane coming off the loss, Francis Ngannou, one fight's not going to get you back to a title. But Tuivasa and Aspinall, those are two fresh names, and I could see either one, you know, actually being a legitimate number one contender after this fight.
Yeah, no. Listen, on merit, absolutely, Harrington, I agree with you. The problem is that John Jones and Stipe Miocic can fight for the interim belt. And I always say that makes you the official number one contender. You know what I mean? Now, there is another side to this. Ngannou might not fight anytime soon. So therefore, they could challenge for the interim belt, which that starts becoming a bit weird, doesn't it? When people are defending the interim belt and all the rest of it. But you never know. Has that ever happened? Brian, just look that up. Has anyone ever defended an interim belt?
I tried looking this up. I mean, technically, did Daniel Cormier ever defend an interim belt while John was... Was John stripped when he went to jail?
Do you know what? No, because DC became the real champ. He wasn't the interim champ, I think. When John got stripped and then DC fought, who did he fight? Wasn't Vulcan? Derek Lewis.
Vulcan? Rumble?
I'm not sure who the fuck was it. I know where I was. I was in Toronto. I watched it live. Just bring up his record. Bring it up.
I'm going to bring up Daniel Cormier right now because that's probably my best bet. If it's got to be one.
He defended against Derek Lewis, I believe. That was a title fight. And then before that, was it Volkan Oezdemir? No, not Volkan. Oh, yeah, it was Volkan
Derek
Uzdemir.
Lewis was the heavyweight title.
Oh, shit, that's right. That's right. I'm getting confused. It was Volkan Oezdemir. You're right. I think that was the interim. Was it?
Minotauro is the only fighter to...
defend an interim?
Yeah.
Okay.
Outside of a unification.
And then what about DC? I'm actually intrigued on this now, Brian Harrington. What are you seeing?
So he lost the belt to Jones, but it got overturned. So he retained the belt, and then he beat Oezdemir, and they considered that a title defense.
A legitimate title defense, not an interim?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Okay, interesting. Man, John Jones caused somebody crazy.
Some real head scratchers.
He's caused some drama, hasn't he, with the UFC and the DC as well. Remember UFC 200 when he found out that Jones tested positive? Oh. DC was, he was heartbroken.
Yeah, getting the news in the back from Dana and just stomping around. Like he was so hyped to just get his vengeance in that moment on the grandest stage. Man, that's a shame he took that away from him.
It really is. I see you got here in the notes. Paul Daly is retiring this weekend following his fight at Bellator 281. Did he win? Or is it this weekend coming?
It's this Friday. It's his retirement fight.
Okay. Yeah, because I know they just had the Bellator Paris where Chet Congo sadly was outpointed by Ryan Bader. Shout out Chet Congo. Hope you're well. Do you know what? So Paul Daly, who's he fighting this weekend?
I'm looking that up right this moment.
Paul Daly's been around. He was one of the first guys that I used to train with.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Wendell Giacomo.
Ah, Wendell. Mr. Wendell.
This is kind of cool. It's taking place in London. So he gets to fight in his home country and MVP's to the top of the card. So
that's right. Who's MVP fighting?
Storley.
Who's Storley? What's his full name?
We're looking it up right now. You can tell I do not watch a ton of belt. Logan Storley.
What's his record?
He is 13-1, one loss by decision, 14 wins, 8 by knockout.
What kind of win streak is he on?
He's on a 2-fight win streak. His only loss is a split decision to Yaroslav Amosov, which I believe is a champion over there. Do not quote me on that, though. Yes, he is the current champion. His only loss, Logan's only loss, is to the current welterweight champion. And it was a split decision loss at that.
Okay. Well, as we know, Michael Venom Page.
Friend
awesome
of the show.
Guy, friend of the show. Love that guy a lot. Tremendous respect. So maybe we'll try and get him on the show pretty soon. And I was going to say, maybe we get Paul Daly on. Because as I say, Paul Daly's had a tremendous career, man. The fact that he's still going now, like I started, as I say, it was me, Dan Hardy, and Paul Daly back in the day. They went off and did their own thing with Rough House. I stayed with this other coach, but tremendous career, you know, knockout artist. I mean, the power that Daly used to have in his left hook, man, was fucking unbelievable. And now here he is still going. How old is Paul Daly now? He's got to be 41 or something like that. It's got to be. Can you see that there?
Look here. He is 39 years old. Just turned 39 in February.
All right. Well, listen, Paul Daly, good luck this weekend, brother. If you hear this, I'm sure you've got better things to do than listen to me and Bloody Harrington ramble on and look at your Wikipedia pages and stuff like that. But still, I mean, it was a shame, wasn't it, what he did in the UFC when he fought Josh Koscheck and then cracked him afterwards, because obviously the UFC can't tolerate that. But I would have loved to have seen what he could have achieved in the UFC, because he could have made a lot of money, could have been a massive star, but they kind of took a stance on that afterwards. And rightly so. You can't go and punch someone after the bell, let's be honest.
No, that's a line in the sand moment, unfortunately. Like, there's really no, there's no coming back from that. You know, yeah, unless, yeah. Unless, well,
you never know. You never know.
Unless you want to jump into the cage and attack Conor McGregor.
yeah. Well, I have no problem with that. let me see. So this weekend, Alexander Rakic taking on the former champ, Jan Blachowicz. This is a massive fight in the light heavyweight division. Massive fight. I mean, Jan Blachowicz, former bloody champion, lost last time against Glover. I spoke to them, both guys, this week. Both of them very, very, very confident in the outcome of this fight. Both been training in the mountains. Alexander Rakic has been all over the place. He's been training in Austria. He's been training in Serbia. He's been training in Germany. He's been training in the mountains of Italy. He said he's been up there in like these big snow boots hiking. But the hiking was so difficult in the snow and with the altitude. So he's like, he's been doing some like proper rocky old school training. I'm just going to bring up the fight card while you talk, Harrington.
Dude, I mean, this is going to be, it's going to be very interesting. I mean, Rakic 2 inch taller, both guys 78 inch reach. I mean, probably the biggest advantage is that, you know, Rakic just turned 30, whereas Blachowicz is pushing 40. You know, the stats on the feet, Rakic lands just a little bit more, eats just a couple fewer shots. He's slightly more accurate. Everything on the stat side on the feet says I should lean towards Rakic, but that doesn't account for how much damage and how much power is in those punches. And I don't know, you know, I just don't know how he measures up to Jan's power.
Yeah, that is a good point. But also another good point to consider as well is Jan Blachowicz beat Israel Adesanya essentially in a striking battle. Yes, 4 and 5, he took him down. But, you know, he competed. And Izzy's probably the best, most technical, fastest, explosive striker that the UFC has right now. And Jan beat him, you know. And as you say, when you look at the momentum that's on the side of Rakic, probably the age, you know, 39 for a light heavyweight, I don't think that's a disadvantage, you know. But you could say that Rakic has got less miles on the clock. You know, he's probably the bigger guy. I think he's a couple of inches taller as well. So, but
taller, yeah.
But I'll tell you what it is. This is a huge fight in the light heavyweight division because both men feel pretty confident that if they win this, they're going to fight the winner of Jiří Procházka and Glover Teixeira coming up. So they see this as a number one contender matchup. For Rakic, yes. For Blachowicz, does he deserve it? Yes, but he literally just lost the title last time out. So I don't know, obviously.
In pretty convincing fashion.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He said he just had a bad night at the office, though. We asked him about it. He said, yeah, I just felt like shit. I couldn't get going. It's weird. Sometimes it's like that. Sometimes it's like that. And, you know, certainly when you get the pressure and the title's at stake and the world's watching and, you know, you train. This is the hard part, not just for champions, for anyone that fights. Because if you play football or soccer or hockey or whatever, you're competing 2-3 times a week or at least once a week. You have a bad night in the office, ah, fuck it. You know, your manager of the team might shout at you, but then the next time out, you go have a good game again. You're good. You lose a fight in the UFC, it could be 6 months, a year before you get to go in there and eradicate it again. So the point that I'm making is that you spend 2-3 months, whatever amount of time it is, to prepare for this one night. And then it comes down to this one night and all this preparation and all this sacrifice and all this buildup and all this media. It's like, here it is. Here it is. There you go. What are you going to do with it now? And some people go out there and they're amazing. You know what I mean? And it doesn't affect them whatsoever. Some people, even though they can handle it on occasion, some people have occasions where they don't handle it. I think another example would be Rose Namajunas at the weekend. That was pressure. That was pressure that caused the inactivity and stuff like that, you know?
That's interesting. I mean, like, it does, I hear something like that and it gives me a little bit more I feel a little bit worse for like Jorge Masvidal, and I can kind of see why he did what he did at Poppy Stakes, right? Because it's like, if you've been planning on getting your hands on this guy for years and years, building this up, and then the media hits and it ramps up even further, and he starts talking about your wife and kids, and it's like all that starts snowballing, and now I have only this 25-minute window where I'm allowed to hit the guy, I have a year's worth of pain that I want to inflict on him, right? So like, I can understand why you would go for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it all comes down to the individual, though, how they're gonna play it. But anyway, so Rakic and Blachowicz is the main event, which is a solid main event. But this fight card this weekend, I'm telling you, is a really good one. Yeah, stacked. Co-main event, Ryan Spann, Iwan Kutalaba. Unbelievable fight. Kutalaba's lost. Oh, I think he won his last one. Let's have a look here. He won his last one against Devin Clark. Then he had a draw against Dustin Jacoby. That was a great fight. Then he lost a couple to Magomed Ankalaev. Kutalaba is an absolute maniac in the best way possible. And Ryan Spann is coming off that very good loss or beatdown from Anthony Smith last time out. I mean, Anthony Smith was on fucking fire in that fight. Point I'm making is Ryan Spann's coming into this one motivated as fuck. He was another one. He said, it's this. We talked to Ryan Spann on Wednesday, and he was talking all about seeing a therapist, seeing a sports psychologist. You know, because he claimed, he said, I'm the best fighter on the planet. He said, if I could just put it together and get it right, you know. So that's a good one. What else? Davy Grant. How are you, man? Davy Grant, friend of the show, talks like this. He's a Geordie man and he's always smiling. He's taking on Lewis Smolka. And then prior to that, what we've got in the women's flyweight division, right? We've got Caitlin Chookagian taking on Amanda Ribas. What do you think of that one, Harrington?
I think if she gets her post-fight bonus, she should finally pay you back for drinks.
Don't bring that up again. When we spoke to Caitlin on Wednesday, I was like, oh, God. Because every time, like, her last fight, I interviewed her in the cage. Mm-hmm. And I thought, please, I thought she might have brought that up to, like, you know what I mean? Make me look bad or whatever. So that's gone. So don't mention that.
Okay, forget it. We're never going to mention it again. Yeah. I mean, this is a very weird fight, right? Because Caitlin is the kind of, she's the fighter that they give you when they're not sure where you belong in the division, right? And she has consistently just been knocking back newcomers time and time again and just holding on to that number one spot at flyweight. So, I mean, this is a real test for Amanda Ribas. And it's like, you know, if she can be a champion at 125, this is it.
Amanda Ribas is awesome, though. Her energy is incredible. You know, she's a very funny girl, but she's a hell of a fighter. Now she's stepped up to flyweight. You know, she's jumped up here, and it's a big one. It's a big opportunity for her. Obviously, you beat Caitlin Chookagian. She is like the unofficial gatekeeper to the title shot. You know what I mean? Caitlin Chookagian is clearly the next best woman in the division after Valentina Shevchenko. She's proven that time after time. She's gone out there. She's beaten many, many people. She needed a fight. Amanda Ribas needed a fight, I believe. There wasn't many takers. She said, you know what, bollocks, I'll go up a weight class. So I love that. I respect that. You know, that's what you want to see. It's that attitude. Yeah, but certainly a difficult fight taking on Caitlin at a bigger weight class for your first time.
Yeah, I mean, this is, let me just take a look here. Yeah, this is it. I mean, she went down to, she took the bout at strawweight. And then had a couple fights there, and now the jump up. I mean, she does have at least one win at flyweight before. I mean, you know, punches and bunches, and you know, this is a massive step up. So it's like, if Caitlin can hold on to this, though, that's now a 4-fight win streak. She hasn't fought. I mean, she fought Valentina in 2020. Do you think, you know, if you put together a 4-fight win streak, that's enough to get you another crack at the belt?
I'd say so. I think so. We see it in other divisions. I mean, Jan Blachowicz is talking about if he wins this, he gets a shot against straight away. So I wouldn't see why she wouldn't against Valentina. However, Valentina just needs fresh challenges. And I think that's why Amanda Ribas is looking at this as a big opportunity. She said, if I can get the job done, she needs challenges and I'll challenge her. I'll go for it. And she's kind of fast-tracked to that if she can beat the number one contender.
So, yeah, I mean, anytime you can jump up and get a spot against number one in the rankings, you kind of have to take it, no?
100% you do, yeah. So main event, Rakic versus Blachowicz. I can't pick. Who you got, Harrington?
It's tough. I don't like Rakic's style, right? I don't think it's very fan friendly. I just don't think it's pleasing to the eye. I think he kind of tries to take the air out of the ball, for lack of a better word, tries to slow the pace down to his style, to mitigate any kind of big risk coming in and just, you know, land enough to like win on points. He's, you know, got, I think it's 5 UFC wins, 4 of them by decision, you know, and then 1 decision loss to Volkan, which arguably he should have won. It's so tough to beat him when he's on his game plan. I mean, my only question there is, how does he deal with the power, right?
Yeah, I feel like you're being a little unfair there to Alexander Rakic, right? He beat Thiago Santos by decision, right? Tough guy to beat, right? You can't take him all out of there. Beat Anthony Smith by decision, tough guy to beat, but it was, you know, sadly, it was a clear decision. Jimmy Manoa almost murdered Jimmy Manoa. That head kick that he connected with was... it was shocking. Devin Clark knocked him out as well, you know, and then a couple of decisions before that. So, Brian, what do you think? Main event, Blachowicz, former champ, Rakic, yep. potential future champ.
I got to go with the Polish power. You can't count out a man who walks around with a noose, you know?
And that's a great point, Brian. I asked him about it. Check this out. So I said to him on Wednesday, I said, Jan, let me ask you, are you bringing the noose? And he goes... and he pulls his hand up and he's got it, you know, a little bracelet around his neck. Sorry, around his neck, around his hand, well,
around his wrist.
And he said, yeah, I went to the forest recently where I found it to recharge its batteries. He took the dead man's noose for a recharge at the scene of the crime where the guy murdered and killed himself.
This
he
is
went
what I'm
there.
Talking about. This is a fucking terrifying man.
What is going on in that guy's mind? Do you know what I mean? To think that, okay, I have the power of the guy that committed suicide. No power in that, right? Turns it into a bracelet and then says, right, okay, I really need to win this one. I'm going to nip down the old forest again, get a little battery recharge on my bracelet.
He was looking for another one.
Dark.
He was going to see if anybody else had hung themselves.
I love Jan Blachowicz. He's awesome, man. He is such a nice guy. I mean, he's an absolute animal inside the octagon. You would not want to get on the wrong side of him. But yeah, he's just got such a great demeanor to him. Do you know what I mean? He's got a good sense of humor. Doesn't take himself too seriously. He was singing away on our show, remember? Did we have Rakic singing as well?
We did. We had them both sing on the show.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I said to Rakic, I said, I'm going to say 2 words to you. And what? I want to know what your response are. He says, okay, what are the 2 words? I say, Polish power. And he goes, rocket fuel. Because he's Alexander the Rocket Rakic, right?
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah. He said, rocket fuel. Like, all right, fair enough. He said, oh, no, rocket fuel is better than Polish power. So whatever.
Disagree. I like alliteration.
Alliteration?
Yeah. What does that mean?
You're coming out with those fancy words.
Oh, it's when words start with, like, Peter Parker, you know, like, is
oh. Like, rocket what? Fuel. Oh, Polish power, the PP.
Yeah.
And you call that alliteration?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
I never knew that. All right, real quick, I want to tell you about Truebill. You know the deal by now. They've been supporting the show for a while. You sign up to these trials. You sign up to these apps or what websites, you know, and it's $3.99 a month, $2.99 a month, $9.99 a month. Who knows? There's a lot of things. You sign up to them, and the subscription companies make it extremely difficult to cancel well because that's how they continue to make money. With Truebill, this is an app or a website, should I say, where you can just take care of it all. Okay, you log in, your Truebill concierge will be there to cancel all the unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to. Yes, that is right. You can save up to $720 a year. That is the average amount that people are saving. It is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions that you don't want to, you don't need, or you just forgot about. That is the big one. There's so many. If you look at your monthly subscriptions that you're paying out that you don't need anymore, you don't want anymore, or that you've simply forgotten about, there is a lot on there. So don't fall for the subscription scams and start canceling today at truebill.com/believe. Go right now, truebill.com/believe. It could save you thousands per year. Let me tell you, you go on this, you're going to see what you're paying for. You're going to see what you don't need to be paying for anymore, and they will cancel them for you. Truebill.com/believe. Okay.
Wow. So if we're trying to get away from the dark forest topic here.
I like the dark forest topic. I want to talk about more suicide. No, go on.
Well, I have found a funny video here of GSP doing a Michael Bisping impression, if you want to hear that.
Oh, I do want to see this. Go on.
Bisping. Michael Bisping was also one that was good at getting under people's skin, right?
Very good, yes.
Somebody said here, he imitated you. Do you know how to imitate him?
You bloody bastard! What a prick!
Michael Bisping.
George is the man. When was that? When was that podcast?
It was just the other day. And then he goes on to tell a story about how you guys are buddies now and you had a drink when you were in London.
Oh, we did. We had a good one.
Yeah,
we had a good drink.
He did say you were a good time to hang out with.
Yeah, no, we had an awesome time. It was absolutely fantastic. All right, listen, we're going to do some questions now. And if you want us to answer your question, then send them into bympod@gmail.com. You know the drill. By the way, I got more merch coming out soon. Had a long conversation, had a Zoom, been doing business meetings. We got designs. So let us know in the comment section, please, what you would like in terms of a design. We're not doing Team Teeth. Team Teeth is terrible. That was Brian's idea.
You just say things sometimes, you know?
Yeah, fair enough. You don't want it haunting you. Brian, what would yours be?
Oh, if I had a shirt?
No, Harrington, or yours. Yeah, any of you.
I was like, I don't fucking know.
Harrington, what's your suggestion for a hot shirt?
It's certainly like F and then like an ampersand and like a period and an exclamation point, like all that. And then just the letter U and then my last name.
It'll have a hairy back printed on it.
Oh, God.
That's smart.
Gross.
That's smart.
Anyway, send your questions into bympod@gmail.com. Harrington.
And if you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. It helps us out in all those goofy algorithms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure that you're subscribed to the show and the notification bell is hit so you find out whenever a new episode drops. And if you want to catch over 350 episodes you can't find anywhere else, ad-free and uncensored, head to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use the promo code BYM, get yourself a 7-day free trial.
He just goes into a trance when he says that now.
No, he does. You go into this like mode. Like, okay, poof.
Yeah.
Gas mode. It's great.
Trying hard to not say end or like or you know. It's oof.
Oh my God.
Like Brian, how many questions do we have?
We have quite a few questions today. Some of them are a little sillier than usual. This first one is more of a statement question from Mr. Gavin Hedges.
Hey guys, a quick question for Michael here. I met Michael years back at a fan signing in the UK. I stood in line for over an hour next to a guy with smelly armpits so Michael could sign my pristine copy of Fighters Only magazine featuring him on the cover. Michael promptly signed it, but as he was finishing his signature, the fucking ink came off his silver Sharpie and it spewed ink all over the front of the fucking magazine, completely ruining his signature. At which point, Michael sat there cackling like a laughing fucking hyena, thinking it was hysterical, before shooing me on to Paul Kelly seated next to him. So, Michael, I'm just wondering, how many other pristine copies of Fighters Only magazine did you fucking ruin over the length of your career? Or was it just mine?
Oh, that is funny. Oh, God. Do you know what? Hold on. Oh, there's a fighter. And thank you for the question. I apologize for what I did to your magazine, but like, if the pen leaks all over it, what do you want me to do? I don't control the ink. I didn't buy the pens. Your magazine's fucked. I'm sorry about your wasted hour. You know, there's a guy on. Go on, Harrington. You wanted to say something.
I just want to know why you're apologizing. That's a one of one now. It's got a little bit of Michael Bisping's signature and then a bunch of ink all over the place. And it's like, who the hell else has that copy of Fighters Only?
Yeah, if Jackson Pollock's can sell for millions of dollars, I don't see why that one can.
Yeah, well, Saturday night, we have a guy called Jake Hadley from the UK fighting on Saturday night. It's all the best, Jake, and to your opponent as well. May the best man win. Anyway, when we did the fighter interview, similar thing there, because Brendan Fitzgerald was talking about British martial arts, or British mixed martial arts, and saying, yeah, the, you know, And Jake comes on and he's like, yeah, you know, we didn't really have a lot of people to look up to. You know, there wasn't many people that we could follow the path of. And then Brenda said, yeah, well, that's why I'm assuming this is, you know, you got Michael Bisping here on the call. And I was like dying inside because I hate it when people start talking about me like this. But then Jake comes on, and he proceeds to tell a story. And I was shitting my pants because these stories can go one of two ways. He goes, well, actually, Brendan, I met Michael in 2012. And it was at an expo. It was the Body Power Expo. I met him there and I just won a jiu-jitsu tournament. And me and my dad went over to talk to him. And I was like, oh God, because he's going to go either I was great or as an absolute asshole. Do you know what I mean? He's like, yeah. And he didn't give me the time of day or nothing. And I was sweating. And he said, and he was great. He said he took a picture of me with my medal. He chatted away for about 15 minutes. He gave me advice and all the rest of it. So, mate that sent in the video question, thank you very much, but I'm not in control of your shitty pens. Maybe don't scrimp. If you're going to stand there in line for an hour, get a better pen. Right, Hamilton?
I'm pretty sure he said it was your pen, so I think he was putting that on you too, but I'm going to go back to co-hosting and just keep my mouth shut.
I'm going to agree with Mike. Yes, it was definitely that guy's fault.
It was that guy's fault. Sorry, dude. Sorry, Brian. What else we got?
We got a question here from Mr. Finn Lloyd.
Doesn't look that thin.
Hello, Michael Bisping, Anthony Smith, Brian, and the other one. My question is,
thanks.
1 1-year-old, 2 2-year-olds, 3 3-year-olds, 4 4-year-olds, 4 5 5-year-olds, and so on. What number do you have to get to where you couldn't win that fight? What number we get to where you're not laying them all out? So it could be 20, 20-year-olds, 15, 15-year-olds. You get the gist. Love the podcast, guys. Keep it up. Listen every week. Yeah, class. And and fuck you, Hans.
That was very, very aggressive. We're going to do a fuck you, Hamilton shirt. I'm going to do it. We're going to have you, as I've said this before, I think it's a good, like a grainy, like prison. What do you call it? What do you call
mugshot?
It? The mugshot. Yeah, yeah. The mugshot. And then underneath where you have the numbers, just have, you know, fuck Hamilton instead of the numbers. You know what I mean? There you go. You're going to be famous, Hamilton.
You're going to put MySpace on a t-shirt.
Yeah, in not a complimentary way.
You're going to sell three of them and they're all going to be.
I don't know. We're going to make it kind of cool. Don't worry. Let me see. Well, I'm Brian, how many of that equation do you think it would take to?
I think I could start getting into trouble around 15 to 17.
Yeah.
You know, like 15 year olds. You like.
15-year-olds, you haven't got a chance in damn hell.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying it's way lower. It's all like 13 right, sure. for normal people.
You're probably right. It's probably more like 12. 12 yeah. to 14 is probably like where I'd cap out at.
It depends, though. It depends on what you do. Because like a lot of the time, I used to use this trick when I was younger. If you pretend to be psycho, like really, really psycho, no one's going to make that first move.
Especially
no
if they're
the
like
first one to get hit.
Impressionable, you know, little kids.
Yeah.
But now here's the question. Are they like emotionless monsters that you're fighting? Or are they like actual 12, 13 year olds? Because I feel like if I Sparta kick one and I collapse his chest in, the rest of them are running.
I gotta say, Brian, you do have you hold your technical abilities in your kicking in quite high regard. If I was to kick one and collapse his chest.
Hey man. It's a 12-year-old. How much force going to take to fucking break their ribs?
He's like, hey, man, I had 3 Thai boxing sessions, bro. Don't fucking underestimate me. Harrington, what are we saying? 7 7-year-olds?
I think I can handle 7 7-year-olds. But I do think that, yeah, I mean, if these kids can grow even like the tiniest little bit of a mustache and they've got that much testosterone, 12 of them is going to be a problem.
11 Lucases, I reckon, it would take the pair of you.
Yeah?
Yeah, he choked me out big time recently on my YouTube channel. I drooled all over the place. Now, in terms of punching them, yeah, you guys have kicked the shit out of him in a punching match. But, like, you know, remember, he's done a lot of jiu-jitsu and stuff.
Okay.
For me, I'm going to go with the 15-year-olds. 15-year-olds, I'm fucked. Yeah. Or it depends, though. Are we talking average? 16-year-olds.
So here's the thing about it. We're all big enough to pick people up like that by an arm and a leg and swing them around like a helicopter. And I feel like that would even it out.
Yeah, like Matrix style. When he puts the bloody post in the middle and just...
Right. Hit a motherfucker with another motherfucker, you know?
Yeah, why not? Why not? All right, go on then. Give us a proper question, because that was a little bit... but thank you very much. Yeah, it's kind of fun.
I got a question here from Dean Collins.
What's up, Dean?
Hey guys, I'm wearing the bathrobe like Harrington, so I'm a bit creep. Fuck you, Harrington, by the way. Thought I'd throw that in there. So yeah, Michael, do you think that you could have achieved the same success that you did, or even better, if you stayed at light heavyweight instead of moving to middleweight? And also, would you rather have your teeth grinded off or watch Carla Esparza versus Rose Namajunas again?
Oh,
anyway, thanks guys for the podcast.
Cheers, mate. Audio a little low on that one, but it's okay. We won't hold it against you. What was the first part of the question?
Do you think you would have done better in your career if you stayed at light heavyweight?
I mean, I had a pretty good career. I became the champion of the world. I moved down after losing to Rashad Evans. There's some big boys. Like Rampage Jackson was a big, big guy. Like now Rampage is out of shape. Because I did an expo just a couple of weeks ago at some trade thing. In fact, we talked about it. I did a favor for somebody, and he's friends with Rampage as well. Rampage is over 300 pounds now. You know what I mean? Like, I'll get out of shape, but I'm not naturally that big anyway. Like, Rampage is naturally a big dude. I'm not being insulted now. I'm just saying, like, if you put a few pounds on, I put a few pounds on, I might get up to 225, 230, 230, something tops. You know what I mean? But when you're just that much bigger, you're fucking coming in at over 300 pounds. Whichever way you slice it, that's a big man, you know? And that's an extreme example, because Lyoto Machida, not the biggest guy, you know what I mean? Not a small guy, but certainly not the biggest light heavyweight. Yeah, I don't know. I often think, did I make a mistake doing that? Because making 185 took its toll. By the way, just look this up, Brian. I think Lyoto Machida just announced his retirement, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
I think so. Just have a look at that. See if that's accurate. Because if so, shout out to Lyoto Machida, the Dragon. Thank you for all the years of memories, the fantastic fights. He had a great career, that guy, as well. What are you seeing, Harrington?
I am seeing that he is undecided on free agency future after UFC 280. I'm sorry, Bellator 281.
Why? Did he just fight recently?
It seems like he's fighting on an upcoming Bellator card.
Okay. Anyway, and then would I rather have my teeth ground down or what?
Or watch Rose versus Carla again.
Yeah.
Well, what would you rather have?
I mean, dude, the amount of money that I lost on that fight is enough to just give me flashbacks. So, yeah, I mean, my teeth are shot anyway. Grind them down. I'll get them replaced.
I'll say this. It was not a good fight. And I have said this many times, so I am not defending them in the slightest. But as a man that has had his teeth ground down when I got these fake Hollywood things put in, I don't want to go through that again. Do you know what I mean? So I'll be honest. I'll answer the question in a literal form. I'd rather watch Rose versus Carla. I've had my teeth ground down. It is a shocking hour-long experience. You know what I mean? So, yeah, give me Rose and Carla. Brian.
Harrington, you got fucking teeth money, bro?
You got teeth money, bro?
It would be so dope if I... Listen, I'm just saying. If I got them all the way ground down to begin with, that's already half the process. So then I just got to go to a dentist and be like, all right, just fill these in now.
Yes, that's how it works. So we have a question here from Mr. Stephen Hogan.
Oh, that was funny, Brian. Yes, that's how it works.
Good question. Who do you think has a better ice card? Charles Oliveira with his jiu-jitsu, or Francis Ngannou's power? Also, you could throw Khabib wrestling in there. And which would you be more concerned against going into a fight? Big fan, all that bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. So basically, if you could pick one like ace card to have, would it be the power of Ngannou, assuming you're at heavyweight, or for whatever weight class, jiu-jitsu of Charles Oliveira, wrestling of Khabib? What else do we have? Is there any other ones, glaring advantages that people have?
I mean, Adesanya striking, like his, you know, just keep away kickboxing game.
Adesanya striking, yeah, that is a good one, actually.
Yeah, fuck me. I was going to say Conor McGregor striking, but that's way better.
Way better.
Holloway's boxing is up there, I think.
Well, Holloway in general, yeah. He's striking in general, yeah. No, no, you're right. What would I rather have? What would you rather have?
I mean, just the way that Oliveira is able to hunt for a finish, both with his hands and with like chokes and leg locks and everything, like the everything that his jiu-jitsu opens up for him, to me, makes him the only guy who could threaten, you know, somebody like Khabib or Islam. And so, you know, I just don't see anybody. I don't see anybody posing a bigger threat than Charles Oliveira.
Yeah, the problem is with answering that question, and thank you for the question. I appreciate it, buddy. What was his name, Brian?
Oh, one second.
I made it disappear. We don't care.
Stephen Hogan.
Stephen Hogan. The problem of answering that question is it's the age-old thing, isn't it? You know what I mean? You can't have one strength. You got to be well-rounded. You know what I'm saying? I would say probably the jiu-jitsu, but Charles Oliveira is only so effective because he's so good with the hands as well. You understand? You know, Khabib was a bit more isolated and he went down as potentially being the greatest of all time. And Francis Ngannou is the heavyweight champ. So all three of them aren't doing bad. Now, I'm going to ask your opinions on this, boys, because I did an in-depth video on this last night on my YouTube channel, which can be found. I did an analysis, a breakdown. A look into who is the greatest lightweight of all time or the GOAT. Okay. Oliveira or Khabib? What do you guys think?
Awesome that it's just down to those two right now.
They're the front runners. I mean, you've got other people.
I have
people.
To agree. Yeah.
BJ Penn, of course, deserves a mention. Who else is there?
I mean, Frankie with those wars with Gray Maynard.
Yeah, but I think body of work, win streaks, you know what I mean, all the rest. I think it comes down to those two. But if you had to pick one, let's no disrespect to any others. That's just they're the two that I broke down on the fucking YouTube. So let's just keep it with that, you prick.
At the moment, I would probably say Khabib just because of the decisiveness of all the finishes. Charlie gets clipped all the time, right? Yeah. Like it's very exciting to watch back and forth fights. It makes for super good watching. But in terms of dominance, I Khabib lost fewer rounds than anybody with 29 fights.
Well, and he's undefeated. So I think that is like the big one. He never lost a fight. I think that Charles Oliveira is right hot on his heels. And if he continues in this fashion for another few more fights, I think he'll do enough to eradicate the losses. You know what I'm saying? What do you think, Harrington?
Charles Oliveira entered the UFC in 2010. When he was just 13-0, he didn't spend a ton of time out there in Dagestan beating up guys with, you know, 47-22 or whatever the wild records that some of the guys who Khabib fought when he was coming up was to build up and pad up his resume. Charles Oliveira grew up inside the UFC. Sure, he took a couple of losses, but only against top level talent. And now the win streak that he's on, the wins that he has, the way that he's finishing people, the finishing record that he has, he's actually challenged himself, right? To the point where you can't say Charles Oliveira has ducked anyone over the course of his career. And look at the people who Khabib defended the belt against. It's Justin Gaethje, you know, it's Dustin Poirier. Those are his biggest wins. Charles
Conor
Oliveira,
McGregor.
I mean, that's the only one that Charles is missing, and I don't think anybody...
But then you trade out Conor McGregor for Tony Ferguson for Charles Oliveira. You know what I'm saying? So it's a valid discussion. However, it wasn't a couple of losses. It was 8 losses, it's significant. Anyway, Brian, we got one more?
We do have one more. It's from Mr. Daniel Espinoza.
Old Espinoza.
I am from Tijuana, Mexico. And I would like to talk a little bit about Tony Ferguson and where does he go from here. Even though he got knocked out on his last fight, I think, he looked great in the first round. I think styles make fights. And I also think that there's a backstory with Conor McGregor. Conor is 1-3 on his last 4 fights, and Ferguson is he has lost his last 4 fights, obviously. But I think this fight makes a lot of sense. And for some reason, it's not being talked about. So I think it's a good matchup for both of them, especially for Conor coming back from that injury. And Ferguson being on this losing streak. But I think it's a good fight for both of them, and I just wanted to see what you guys think about it. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Daniel Espinosa from Tijuana, Mexico, thank you very much. You're just down the street from me. Let me see. It does kind of make sense on paper. Connor is 1-3 in his last four, if I'm not mistaken. Tony's 0-4. So they're kind of, as much as people don't want to admit it, their current form is kind of similar, you know? I think that would be a great fight for Connor. If he came back to 155, be a great fight for him to dip his toes back in the lightweight division, probably get a win, I would have thought, you know what I mean? But you can't underestimate Tony, because look what he did to Chandler, you know? But look what Chandler fucking did to him. What do you think?
I mean, Michael Chandler had the wrestling to fall back on when Tony Ferguson was piecing him up on the feet. Conor McGregor doesn't have that, right? So it's like,
that's a good point. That's a good point.
And I'll tell you right now, if Tony Ferguson beats Conor McGregor, that invalidates pretty much everything Dustin Poirier has done over the last couple of years. Like, it's not a good look for the UFC to have Conor McGregor lose another fight, especially to a guy who's on an 0-4 streak right now. If Conor McGregor loses, it has to be to somebody like Chandler or Hamza, you know, like somebody who they're trying to propel to greatness. I just don't see the upside in it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with what you're saying, but ultimately it's down to Connor to win the fights though as well. You know what I mean? See, that is always a risk. Like, you put him in with the Tony Ferguson, if he gets beat, it's not a good look. But on the flip side, it might be, well, let's get Connor's mojo back. Let's get him a fight he can win. Let's get him a tune-up fight. Not that I'm calling Ferguson a tune-up fight, but when you look at the fact that he's lost four in a row, it might look like a tune-up fight. You know what
I
mean?
That's the problem. You have the looks of it being a tune-up fight, like the cowboy fight, but you're in there with Tony fucking Ferguson, right? It's not a tune-up fight for anybody. So it's like, I just don't see the upside there. I mean, you know, a Dan Hooker fight would make 10 times more sense. You know, like there's...
And Dan Hooker would be good. That is, yeah. Because he's gone back up to lightweight now as well. Put that secondary featherweight stint or experiment, whatever you want to call it, behind him. Dan Hooker versus Conor would be a fun fight as well. That'd be a great fight. Two fantastic strikers. But I just don't know if Dan has the star power. You know what I mean? I'm saying, I mean, no, Cerrone was big. Dustin's a star. Khabib, obviously. Yeah, do you know what I mean? I don't think that...
Hooker was Chandler's first fight when they were trying to get Chandler over. You know what I mean? Like, Hooker does feel like he's up there and he's at that level. I just can't think of too many other friendly fights to Conor McGregor. And Tony Ferguson, to me, is just about one of the scariest ones you could give him right now.
Yeah, but you need two horses in the race. You know what I mean? Conor's going to be main event. That's just the way it works. Whether he's got a belt or not, he'll be main event. I just don't think... Well, hold on. It doesn't matter. Conor versus anybody would sell. Conor versus anyone's going to have anyone interested. I was going to say, I'm not sure if Dan Hooker would be that guy. It doesn't matter. You could put in a fucking lump of cheese and people are still going to watch it. You know what I mean? And that's not me kissing his ass. You all know the truth, how I feel. You know what I mean?
How long does that last for?
The lump of cheese?
Sure.
I think it might melt under those lights pretty quick. And you got, what did he call it?
Fondue.
Fondue is where I'm going. But what did they call it at the Mexican restaurant? You get the...
Queso.
Queso! Yeah. Love a bit of fucking queso. You don't do that in England, man. Ooh.
No, I'm saying, how long can Conor, you know, just sell off of being fucking Conor? You know, he has to win against somebody that is a challenge soon, or else he's going to lose relevance.
You're absolutely right. To a certain degree, I think he has lost some, but the star power is still there. Certainly with hardcore fans that know the sport, he's lost a little of that cachet. But in terms of casual fan base, yeah, he's still got that massively in spades, by far the biggest star. But you're right, you keep losing. You keep losing, but you keep talking, then it goes away at some point. And it has diminished. It's diminished a bit, but still big enough, still bigger than anyone else's. But he won't continue that way if he loses. So anyway, what are you doing this weekend, Harrington?
Man, you always put me right on the spot.
Well, no, it's not putting you on the spot. It's like, what are you doing? Is a question.
I'm hanging out with my girlfriend. Oh, I'm going to Limp Bizkit tomorrow. That's going to be pretty cool.
Oh, shit. Well, yeah. That's good.
Dude, I'm hyped about that. That's going to be fun.
No, that is, yeah. No, that's going to be awesome. Did I tell you I went to Pearl Jam?
How was that?
Yeah.
Awful.
No shit.
It was so bad. And it wasn't the band. It was our experience. It was a very humbling experience. For those people that don't know, I bought tickets for Beck. It's her favorite band, a couple of years ago. Before the pandemic started, she was in Australia. I was missing her. And I noticed that they were touring. They were going to be in LA. So I bought some tickets to surprise her. The tickets were very expensive. But I thought, oh, God, I'll do it. I bought her tickets. But then the pandemic happened, right? And that got cancelled. I also bought a ticket for Ricky Gervais because we love him. And that got cancelled. Anyway, last week, we just got a text out of the blue. Yeah, I've got your tickets. Meet me on the car park for the Pearl Jam. I'm like, what? Rebecca's like, it's a scam. It's a scam. I'm like, no, hold on. It's not a scam. I did buy fucking Pearl Jam tickets a couple of years ago. So I'm texting back and forth with the guy. And he says, yeah, no, it didn't get cancelled. It got postponed. And it's this Friday, and I'm in town. I'm like, oh, great. I said, we're going fucking Pearl Jam Friday. And when we got there, there was literally not a worst seat in the building. Now, I'm not being a seat snob. I'm not. I don't mind being way up high at the rafters. You get to look down. It's a great visual. If I could show you a picture, because I took some pictures just to – we were right at the top with nothing but a brick wall behind us. There was like a ledge or something above us, right? All we were seeing, if we looked, it looked like we were peering through a letterbox, right? And if you went a certain way, you could just kind of see the band. He was talking, but because we were had like a roof above us, the audio was so bad. When he was talking, it just sounded like that. You couldn't hear the music. Do you know what I mean? And everyone was very smelly and sweaty. Yeah, I was like, we stuck around for a little bit, and then we were like,
you were what's in called Gen Pop.
Gen Pop. I'm like, is this what it's like for normal people?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
where was the show?
At the Forum.
Dude, you got to just bust it out. I won the belt here. Let me backstage.
Okay. I would never, ever speak like that. But yeah, no. It was, I'm sure they looked like they were fucking killing it. Because when we came out of those seats and we walked down a fair bit, and there's a little bit where you're like, you go down some steps, then you turn back on yourself and you go down some more steps. There's like a little landing there. I said, fuck it, babe. We'll just stand there and just watch it from here for a bit. She's like, we're not doing that. That's so embarrassing. I'm like, babe, it's a great fucking view. No one's saying shit to us here. Let's just stay here for a bit. And then someone came over, shining a security guard, shining the torch at us like this. And I was like, oh, we got to go. We got
to
go.
Not that I need to say it, but you're a much bigger man than Harrington. He walks in everywhere, and he's like, I'm the Ellis Mania Freak Show fight champ.
Oh,
don't you know who I am?
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me.
Open some doors.
I struggle to find the door that will open. Anyway, guys, ladies, gentlemen, enjoy the fights this weekend. I'll be on the call with Dominic Cruz, Brendan Fitzgerald. We'll be back Monday morning with another show. Well, by the time it gets to you, it'll be Monday evening. So enjoy your weekends. I'll see you there.